Blog Talk Radio. Yes, we are light. We are the collective beings of light who are conscious. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. This is Beata, also known as Ana, my seed light name. And this is Soul Purpose Healing. If you are tuning in, you're going to be fed some soul food today. Thank you so much for listening, and today I have a guest. Rafa has returned again, my brother, and we are going to feed you today with the truth about the recycling of your spirit. We're talking about understanding your true self, and you were listening to the beautiful voice of India Ari, neo-soul artist, who sings about the essence of who we are. We are light beings trapped in this human vessel called the human body, with arms and skin, layers of skin covering the universe within us. Yes, the human body has inside of it a universe. The inside of every person you meet has a mirror of what is above our heads in the Shemayim, or the heavens, the stars, the moons, the planets. And each one of us comes from a star seed. We are a star seed of light. So welcome, welcome. Get ready. Get your pens and paper out, or just open up your ears to receive the truth that my brother Rafa and I are sharing with you today. And as a reminder, I am a life and health coach. I'm a master herbalist. I am not a medical doctor. And so if you hear a few things about your health, keep in mind that this message, this knowledge is not intended to replace any medical or professional advice that you're receiving. In fact, we tend to rise above the medical advice you're receiving from the men in the white coats. We want you to take charge of your health and read. There's Google, there's LinkedIn, there's so many resources for you to understand this human vessel that you're in. But most important, we're going to emphasize today how you are a light, and understanding yourself, this human part of you, is important to shine that light. And today, earlier, I was reading about the liver. The liver is a very important organ in the body that also gives off light, and we often mistreat that organ. And so I just want to give you a few tips on how to recognize that your liver is stressed or dysfunctioned or having problems. And this is important because everything we eat or drink has to be broken down into different chemicals before it can help you be that light in the body. And that's one of the primary jobs of the liver, is to break down different chemicals and get them to work for you. So many people are taking drugs, pharmaceutical drugs, eating processed food, and the liver is just being overworked to break down all the chemicals. When you feed your body healthy foods, the liver is smiling and working in harmony with the universe inside of you. So let me just give you a few signs that your liver is in trouble. Now, if you don't know where your liver is, your liver sits on the right side of your rib cage, just under your rib cage on the right side. And if you touch that area and it feels hard or it hurts when you press on the rib cage, that can be, I'm not saying definitely, I'm not a doctor, but this is the information and the knowledge that I received this day from a reputable source, that can be a sign that your liver needs help. Another sign is if your skin looks yellow. Number three, if you experience chronic indigestion, if you have skin diseases, any kind of skin eruptions can be a sign that your liver is not processing all the chemicals quickly or efficiently enough. So look at your skin. If you have pimples or rash or anything on the skin, that's an outward sign. Your body, your liver is talking to you. Your skin is having to be a detox pathway for all the toxins because your liver is not processing them through the colon or other areas of the body. Another sign is if you get easily stressed and you have a lot of nervous tension on a regular basis, it's time for a liver attention or cleansing. If your skin itches all the time, another sign your liver is talking to you. Your legs or your ankles are swelling, possible sign of liver dysfunction. And the last, number eight, dark urine. If you haven't had any beets or dark-colored food that would color your urine, if it's always dark, that could be a sign that your liver is talking to you. It needs help. It's crying for help. So juicing is the most effective and natural, easy way to clean and detox your liver. You can start every morning with a liver cleanse by simply squeezing fresh lemons or limes into a warm or hot glass of water and drinking that before you take in any food. Just fresh lemon juice in hot water every morning. And here are the top 10 foods to help you detox your liver. And this is from a website called Natural Health or Natural Research. Naturalhealth.com is what it is. 10 foods to consider in your diet that will help keep your liver healthy, strong, and keep processing all the chemicals we breathe and eat. Dandelion greens is number one. Beets, those beautiful red-colored hard vegetable with their tops, those beautiful green tops. Apples, make sure they're organic. Apples are one of the highest pesticide fruits that you can find, so make sure if you buy apples, they're organic. Number four is garlic. Five is lemons and limes. Six, any dark leafy greens like kale or collards are excellent for detoxing the liver. Fresh turmeric, that's T-U-R-M-E-R-I-C, is a wonderful plant that is just does so much work inside of this vessel we live in to bring it to balance. Turmeric is a multi-functioning herb. You should be sprinkling it on everything. It helps inflammation and now your liver. And then you have cruciferous vegetables like broccoli, cabbage, and cauliflower. And then carrots are number nine. And lastly, grapefruit is number 10 on the list to help detox the liver and leave as much of the white pith on the grapefruit as possible. So there you have it. That's your health tip for the day and your soul food as well, because whatever good you do to your liver, you are really doing a lot for your spirit and soul. So let's keep those tips in mind. And if you didn't write that down, you can always go back and listen to this show after it's over. This show will be in the archives, and you can listen to it over and over again. And by all means, please share this with your friends. If you find some benefit to this show today, please share it with your friends, because my brother Rafa and I are here to help heal the earth, starting with you. You are the earth that has come down from heaven to dwell in this vessel of clay and to bring light and peace and healing and harmony to the earth. So thank you for joining us again. I'd like to welcome my guest once again, Rafa. Rafa, are you there?
Yes, yes, sister. I'm here.
Thank you for taking the time to be with me again today. How are you today?
Oh, giving thanks, feeling pretty good, and of course happy to be on with you once again. It's always an honor and a blessing.
Hallelujah, and it's my honor. It's always an honor to have a guest because there, in my opinion, there are three perspectives on this earth when you are in communication with another person. Yours, mine, and the Creator's perspective. And it's wonderful if I can talk to another person and we can all become one with the Creator, Yahuwah. Yahuwah is the name of our Creator. It's written in the Paleo-Hebrew letters. It's written in the sky. It's written everywhere in nature. And we are blessed to know that name because the Scriptures remind us we are to call upon that name for our help, for our life, for our strength. So thank you, Rafa, my conscious brother. We're going to have a beautiful time in the next hour or so about the recycling of our spirit. And we want our listeners to gain understanding and wisdom and knowledge about who you really are. This show is called Soul Purpose Healing because the essence of who we are is a soul and a spirit, and we're going to get more into the word spirit and soul in a minute. But I'd like to start out this show with a quote from the scriptures, the book of Hebrews, or in Hebrew it's called Ivrim chapter 9, verse 27. This is a scripture that many Christians use to deny the reincarnation or the recycling spirit truth. And so I want to start out reading that scripture and just kind of break that scripture down for us as to what it really means in Rafa's and my mind, and so we can move forward with the understanding of Eastern versus Western philosophy words and what they really mean. So in the book of Hebrews, or Ivrim, chapter 9, verse 27, it reads, "And it is appointed to men once to die, but after this the judgment," or in Hebrews it reads the mishpat meaning judgment. So once again, as it is appointed to men once to die, but after this the judgment. That scripture is so full of complexity, confusion for many, and mystery about the soul within us and who we are on this earth. Because when you break that scripture down, for me, for one, I looked up the word men, and in the New Testament, which is when you look that up in the Strong's Concordance, which is like your dictionary for Hebrew and Greek words, the word men is Strong Concordance number 444, and the Greek word used is called anthropos. Anthropos, or from one source, it's nr. The root of it is nr. What that word men means is an individual, man-faced, or a human being, a certain man, or even the countenance of that man. So what's that saying to us? And I'm going to let my brother Rafa speak on this in a minute. Is that when it is appointed to your face for you to die, but after this you're going to face the judgment? So that scripture starts out appointment. Every one of us has an appointment to die, to leave this vessel of clay. And it's appointed unto who? Not your spirit, but the man faced or the countenance that you bear today. The countenance of Viata or Ana is one countenance that no one else has. The countenance of Rafa, his face, no one else has that face. We are so unique in our human faces and in our countenance and in this human body. So it's only this face that will disappear from the earth. But we're talking about a soul or a spirit that gets recycled. So, Rafa, what do you say about the recycling of the spirit? Now that we know that, the scriptures are not really talking about the spirit dying or the soul dying, but it's talking about your countenance or your unique face, you have some very interesting knowledge and wisdom and perspective on this word recycling of the spirit that you can share with us.
Yes, my sister. It's a very sensitive topic.
Yeah.
You know, many people will be in objection to it because of the way that we're taught in the Western thought, the Western world, and the most cultures in the world do teach some form of the regeneration of the spirit or the soul, as people call it. But in the Western world that we have come up in, it's very contrary. It's actually one of the only culture on the planet that teach it. And they kind of try to use certain scripture or passages to support that. But when you really look at the scripture on a whole, Old and New Testament, it's a very different picture that's given when you look outside of the way people have taught us to read the Bible. We go to the Bible with our preconceived ideas and things that have been instilled in us from infancy. When you strip that away and you look at it and just read it for yourself, you'll see things like, wow, I didn't know that was there, and it's always been there, but it's just we have blinders on because we go with the idea already in our head, and we look for the scriptures somewhat to validate those teachings as opposed to letting the scripture tell us what it's saying.
And who do you think has influenced us the most in this society to have these preconceived ideas?
We know, at least in, you could say, if you want to go back just a few hundred years into this country, the teachings of Christianity were used as a tool of enslavement in a large degree. You know, that's an unfortunate use. It doesn't make the Bible bad, like many black men today from, you know, a couple of generations back up to now will reject the scripture because they know this truth, that the scripture was used as a tool for slavery. So they throw, as to say, the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
And when you do that, the baby still is good. Keep the baby. But, yes, get rid of that old dirty water. You don't want that. So take the words, but get rid of, strip it. Strip those oppressive teachings and cultural obstructions that were put on top of, superimposed on the word. And like we read in 2 Timothy, the word is alive and it's quick. Sharper than any two-edged sword. So the word is alive. So you don't want to destroy the life. you keep the word, keep the life, but get rid of the preconceived notion. So, you know, we could say it was a tool of slavery, many of the teachings we get, but it goes back further than that, too, with, you know, back into Catholicism and many of those teachings, which were incorporated into that church from paganism. If people who have studied know that to be true, many of the traditions in the church come from pagan roots and holidays and festivals and rituals and so on. And unfortunately, many of the Protestant churches today have re-embraced those teachings where they once had rejected them and became Protestant to the traditional or Romanistic way of approaching the scripture. Now they are more, as the church calls, ecumenical and embracing of the traditional teachings. And we know, as Christ said in Matthew, the book of Matthew, that you make the law or the word of the Most High no effect by your tradition.
That's right. That's right. You nullify the word by your traditions.
Yes. Tradition does not hold weight with truth or with scripture. But many
we know from our journey that these institutions had an agenda. They were following an agenda instead of truth and the life of the Creator. They had an agenda to enslave. They had an agenda to control. They had an agenda to program the minds of the masses so that their agenda could go forward. But I'm so grateful that you and I and so many others of us are waking up. We are becoming conscious, and especially conscious to the non-agenda of the Hebrew letters. My journey has really taught me that the only truth is in the Hebrew letters, especially Paleo-Hebrew, because there's such meaning in these letters. And when we study the letters, there's no agenda. It's just written in the sky. It's written in the ancient text. And there can be no agenda when you know the letters and their meanings and numbers. So I'm glad we're talking about the recycling and relating it to the institutions that are not about recycling so much as putting forward their agenda and their plan.
Right.
So we're coming out of that plan.
It's an agenda of domination.
Yes.
And you have to always question if it's in the best interest of the dominator or the oppressor for the dominated or the oppressed to know the truth.
Right.
An obvious answer is no. They would not want you to know the truth as they know it, because it will expose their domination, their treachery, their oppressive nature. You would say, well, why are you doing this to me? If this is what you claim to follow, then, well, what's going on here? And it's a contradiction. So it takes away immediately, strips them of their authority, their assumed authority or proposed authority. And without authority, one cannot rule. If you don't acknowledge someone's authority, you won't obey their word or their rules. So this is the core of the problem. And we are taught that our oppressors love us. We are taught that they have our best interests at heart, and that they are telling us, they are fully informing us and giving us all the truth we need. And if anything is farther from the truth, it's not true. So the more you read and study, you will find that the word is just so pure. You're speaking about the Hebrew. even in English, they have changed certain things, but you cannot kill the truth, because the truth is a spirit, and the
That's right.
Oh, yes, the truth is a spirit, and man cannot destroy spirit. He can destroy flesh, but he cannot destroy spirit. And that's what we read in John 17. Christ said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And my mind, I can't put my finger on that scripture at the moment. It will come to me directly. But, you know, I like to give the passage where a quote comes from. I don't want people to just think I'm saying these things. I always want to
let me have a brief health tip about the spirit and the soul. I did a little homework this afternoon, and just to define, in case our listeners are wondering, well, what's the difference between the spirit and the soul? Well, if you go to the Hebrew understanding of spirit, going to the Strong's Concordance again, and you find that the word spirit in Hebrew is ruach. We who study the Hebrew language, we've heard this. So Ruach HaKodesh, meaning the spirit of the Holy One. And so in the Strong's, we find the word Ruach means wind or breath or exhalation, life, and even a region of the sky, I read in one definition in that 7307 Strong's Concordance. It means the wind and the breath and the exhalation and even a region of the sky, which to me refers to where your wind and breath come from. And then you look in the Greek of that for that word spirit, and the word in Greek is pneuma, which is a current of air or the mind or life in you. And then you go to the word soul in Hebrew is nefesh, and it's to breathe, creature, heart, from the word nafash, to be breathed upon or refreshed by air. So these two words are very similar. What is really very similar about them when you're looking at Hebrew is both of these words in the Hebrew, ruach and nefesh, have three letters. The word ruach has the letters raish or resh, vav, and chayit. Three letters, and if you were to study the Hebrew and you'd find the meaning of each of those letters comes to life, wind, breath, and exhalation. That's how you know this, the full understanding of ruach or spirit. And then the word soul, nefesh, has three letters, nun, pawa, and shayin. So those three letters, too, have a specific meaning. Each letter has a meaning, and you come up to a very pure truth about who we are. The ruach and the soul are both the breath. And on this show, I'm always encouraging my listeners, after years in the health food business and holistic health, having deep breathing is one of the simplest ways to get your body back in balance, to reduce stress, and regain your health. And that's why we're talking about the recycling of your spirit or your soul here, because it is your health that will keep that spirit here and not have to be recycled. But if you're not breathing deeply, if you're not conscious of the breath that you are, of the soul and the ruach and the nefesh that you are, then you may not be here for very long, and your soul will have to be recycled again. So here we go. Recycling is a good word.
Yeah, that's heavy. I found that. As I'm listening to you, I found that passage that I was
I knew you would.
Yeah, I had the long chapter. It's not 17. It's John 6, verse 63. And it says, Christ said, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So the word of the Most High is life, is alive and active, like the one in 2 Timothy. It's also, Christ said, the word, the spirit is life, is what you just brought out to underscore what you were saying. The not only the Hebrew words themselves, but the letters of the word spell out that or identify these life forces, these life principles that make the three word letters that make up the one word. And the study of the Hebrew is so intriguing because it takes you in realms that you stretches your mind that you wouldn't normally think of. So we know that this is not, like as Peter said, we are not following cunningly devised fables here. This is superhuman, beyond the realm of man, these concepts and thoughts. They're so deep. English doesn't properly convey the deep, rich meaning of the words, not even the letters, let alone the words.
Yeah, so when you think of it, the Messiah, Yahushua, it was not speaking English back then.
That's right.
So when we think of Mashiach, the word Mashiach, the anointing, Mashiach, we are anointed, and we should be speaking the same when we follow after the Yahushua that we know, the Messiah, the Mashiach. We should be taking on the mind of this person, crucifying our flesh, and understanding, gaining understanding and wisdom about this journey that we're on, which is so awesome that we have been chosen to take on the mind of a Messiah or Mashiach, Yahushua. It's all in those letters of his name that tells us that our salvation is in being anointed on this earth.
Yes.
And speaking in the tongue of the Messiah, which was Hebrew, and understanding, like he said, my words are spirit. Hallelujah. That's deep. My words are spirit. And you can only have spirit words when you're speaking in Hebrew and you're using the knowledge and wisdom that come from Hebrew when you can really be understanding what he said. That's powerful, what he said. My words are spirit.
Right.
Think about that, folks. What does that mean? My words are spirit. And you hear the F word being used, and then everywhere I go, it's like I'm hearing that F word and all this English language expressing the anger and expressing emotions of the human being, which is what is going to die, not the spirit in you that is life and breathing. Hallelujah. So many people.
Yes. I think as we're talking, this discussion is so powerful. It is so deep. You may have to break this down into a two-part discussion because I just realized there was something, an area that we did not touch on earlier when we spoke, and if I am going into it right now, it's going to eat up some time, but it's a necessary element that we need to discuss in dealing with the spirit of man.
Mm-hmm,
and that
mm-hmm.
is when you were speaking about the spirit of the Most High, as you correctly said, the Ruach HaKadosh, the spirit of the Holy One. It is the set apart spirit of, you know, why is it that when we say holy, I mean in English, but holy, it means set apart. Like sanctified also means set apart.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
The Spirit of the Most High is set apart because He is set apart. He stands mm-hmm. alone. And so His Spirit stands alone. But many people, I think, to understand the recycling of the Spirit might not be as readily or easily understood if they don't understand what the Spirit or who the Spirit of Truth is and what is the Spirit of Truth. What is what we call the Holy Spirit? And that is a very touchy subject also. People talk about the Trinity and the Godhead and so on, but they think like there are, three individuals that it's like a council of some sort, and that each one is the same. Or sometimes they say, well, it's all one. Christ is one, and God is one, and Christ is God, and He is the Father. And there's a lot of misunderstanding with that. So understanding the Spirit of Truth will help us understand our spirit, because it says in Romans that the Spirit, in Romans 8, the Spirit testify with our spirit that we are the children of Yah. So what does that mean? That is an evidence that there is a Spirit in us, and that is the vehicle or the means through which the Most High Spirit works in us to work out a good conduct, a good behavior. But it starts in the Spirit, in the unseen. So the looking at what the Spirit is would be, I think, very, because we are made in the image of the Creator. So in Genesis 1:26, so let's look at that really fast. That's in Corinthians 2, 1 Corinthians 2. There is a very interesting passage that Paul spoke of in referring to the Spirit of Truth.
He
says that, I'm reading from verse 10 in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. Okay, it says that Yah has revealed to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, deep things of Yah. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of Yah except the spirit of Yah. That was verse 10 and 11. What man knows, or what human, what individual knows the things that are in you, your innermost thought, except your spirit? There are things, you could be married for 50 years, and there are things that your spouse will not know. Your mother birthed this man or this woman, but she doesn't know them like you know you. And why is that? Because it's a spirit thing inside of you. There's a being, that the essence of who you are, that those thoughts and feelings that never get verbally expressed. And that is what the Spirit of Truth is. It is to say the Most High is so powerful, He could take those innermost thoughts and intricacies and feelings and personify them though he has made that into a distinct personage or individual outside of himself and is able to send that energy, that spirit out in to communicate with his creatures. That is what the spirit of truth is. So when he says, no man know the spirit of a man, for no what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him, even so no one knows the thing of Yah except the spirit of Yah. So truly when he says later in the passage that we have the mind of Yah, that we do. We get to know the innermost thoughts. He revealed himself to us through his spirit because his spirit is that essence of himself that knows him better than any other of his creation. We get various teachings and instruction and loving, what you could call loving or sometimes judgmental principles from nature, from the animal kingdom, from our parents and so on, but you can't get to know the Creator like you know him unless you have that spiritual connection, that relationship. And this
Hallelujah.
Is what in Corinthians is talking about. So he that's how intimate he wants us to know him, how intimately he wants us to know him. No secret. I can't do that. I can't take my spirit, my innermost thoughts and feelings and make them into another individual and share that or give that to you. I could talk to you and tell you things about myself, but we could do that a lifetime because people are always evolving. But the Most High says, I change not. So because he's perfect, he is complete, Malachi 3:6. So we get that part of him. We have a privilege to have access to that part of him. It would by no other way could we get that close to him, especially with the barrier that sin has created between us. You know, Isaiah, I think it's in chapter 45 or so, he says, your sins have separated you from me, and your transgressions have withholding good things from you. So one of the good things that the sins separate us from is our that intimate, close connection like Adam had when he heard the Most High speaking to him in the garden and walking in the garden with him. But we don't have that except through the Spirit of Truth, who we can't physically see or touch. But
Hallelujah.
We know.
That's a lot. Let's this is getting very interesting. I want to take just a break so people can breathe that in. That was a lot that you just said. It was full of light and truth, and that was a big meal that you just presented to. That was a 3-course meal. So let's take a soul break. Born of Yah, we want to remind everyone of where we come from. If you didn't hear it in what the brother just said, we're going to have Shemuel Wali sing it to us, stroking his guitar with Born of Yah. We'll take just a couple of minute break for you to breathe that in, and we'll be right back with more discussion on the spirit and light of our wonderful Creator.
I am born from the fires of Yah, a spark from their offerings, my name a formulation of numbers to appear to the faces of Yah. From the altar of Ba'ir Lahairai, predestined to be the child of Yah as a star, sown as a seed, in the waters of Al-Hahim. Mother bore me upon her breast, that I may nurse and find my rest, my consolation in Hakumaha, my strength in Ba'ina. In the waters of the grave I lay, I heard Yahushua call my name. Come forth, as I heard, I awoke unto my name. A body I prepared to house the Holy Ghost, as a deer pants by the waters, to receiving the heavenly host, which fills our rings with joy. That we walk in the spirit of Yah, sanctified in soul, we affirm our destiny of old. I am born from the fires of Yah, a spark from their offerings, my name a formulation of numbers, to appear to the faces of Yah. Born from the altar of Ba'ir Lahairai, predestined to be the child of Yah as a star, sown as a seed, into waters of Al-Hahim.
Now that's a brother giving us some music for our soul, and a lot of those words are Hebrew words. And when you study the Hebrew language, you understand more what he's singing about. Bayina is the understanding that our Creator wants us to have about his name and his language. And the brother Shemuel sings about born of Yah. And I was trying to think of the scripture that talks about the Ruach of man, and I found it in the book of Proverbs, or Mishle. And in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 27, it reads that the Ruach of man, and we've already mentioned Ruach is spirit, the Ruach or spirit of man is the lamp of Yahuwah, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The Ruach of man is the lamp of Yahuwah, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So this recycling of your spirit, it's the lamp of the Most High. It's the lamp of your Creator. That's why we started out saying we are light, because the light within us is the lamp that the Creator uses. These strands of light coming from heaven, from your star in heaven, to you, communicating to you, to us, what is going on in your mind. The strands of light are within us, searching our organs, searching our liver, as we talked about earlier. That energy of breath, that light, that spirit searches your liver and says, wait a minute, this liver is congested. This liver is not doing its job properly. And so that lamp of the Creator searches, and that's why he has to sometimes recycle your spirit and bring death to the flesh. What do you say, Rafa, when the death to the flesh has to come? Because we are not handling the flesh too well, and the spirit and the lamp comes inside the inward parts and judges. In fact, we can get back to that beginning Hebrews where it is appointed to man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Something to think about.
Yeah. There is another passage to underscore the one in Proverbs you read. There's another one in chapter 18, verse 14, that says, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? And I'm sure many people out there could testify to this, you yourself, sister, as I can, that we have known people who were sick, and sometimes sick to the point of death, seemingly like they were doing really bad, but they had a strong will to live. They had a passion for life. They, whatever it was, maybe they felt people needed them, that they couldn't leave at this time, or things they wanted to do, or whatever, a loved one that they didn't want to leave. And they made it. They pulled through and got better. Then there are people that we know sometimes they just are so beat down, and then an illness comes, and they just give up. They don't fight. They don't have that fight in them. Their spirit is broken, as it says in verse 14. And the illness itself was not sufficient enough to destroy this person, but because they didn't fight, they didn't have that zest for life, they gave up. Whatever, they were too depressed or sad about something.
The grief
kicked in,
yes.
And they just gave up, and then they passed on, they died. And we're like, wow, they should have had, why, they could have made it. But my foster mother was one that I saw that happen to, and she was so tired, she was tired of fighting, and she gave up, just gave up the ghost, like the scriptures say, and she died. She didn't, but what she had wasn't serious enough. She had many other times much serious or more serious illness that could have taken her out, and she didn't go. But this, the last one, it was like she just, we could see it. She was having marital problems, and she just felt like it was over. There was nothing else to live for, and she gave up.
I love this. This topic is one of my favorites because it reminds me of my sister. Now, your foster mother had some emotions acting, the energy. We are all energy and light. And I wonder if you recognize now, Rafa, the emotions behind her, the giving up, the ruach, sustain, not being able to sustain her because the energy of her energy, emotions. Emotions can be thought of as energy in motion. And when the emotions are not of love and compassion, wisdom, understanding, and respect, then the energy cannot be sustained in that flesh because it's too acid. So just like my sister, I'm sure you recognize in your foster mother, the emotions that will tell the Most High breath within you that it's time to recycle your spirit. It's time for you to leave the body because, like my sister, her emotions were grief. Her daughter was hit by a car, and 2 years later, her grief and her unforgiveness and her guilt were strong enough to release that spirit and her time came to be recycled. But the thing about that was I learned so much from that experience. And I'm sure you, just as you just expressed, learned so much from observing that woman and her emotions. Yeah. Like you said, the marital conflicts, the many conflicts that we encounter in life, the traumas, they can take hold of the flesh because the emotions are too acid, are too out of alignment with the love of the Most High, whose lamp is leading and guiding inside of you or watching and observing inside of you and triggering that even that it's time for you to go. That lamp is searching inside for the right energy, for the right chemical balance of love and compassion. And when that lamp sees grief, unforgiveness, sadness that won't change, that messenger is teaching us so much about the light that has to go out now and be recycled. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the lesson has to be taught. It's a lesson for us. All those who die have to, their time for recycling occurs, And then we who are left behind, as Ecclesiastes says, we are to take it to heart. We are not to go into deep grief and find no answers or no wisdom from this person being recycled, but we are to come to a deeper understanding about this life and death cycle that we all have. Cycle and then recycle. And cycle and recycle. Hallelujah.
Right.
That's what he would have us know today. The cycle and the recycling of life and death.
Yeah. Yes. I wanted to just give a couple of passages that I had quoted but didn't give the, you know, exact address. So one was Romans 8:16 that I quoted about the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That is Romans 8:16. And the other were actually two of them. Isaiah, it's not 45, it's chapter 59, verse 2. And Jeremiah 5:25 also says a similar. Well, the one I quoted was in Jeremiah. The other one is Isaiah 59:2. Your iniquities have separated you from your mighty one, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. And this, again, comes back to the relationship aspect. Our Creator wants to have a relationship with us. What parent does not want to be in good relation with their children? It's a joy to that parent. So how much more our Creator, may who created us in love and for rulership, that he wants to guide and teach us great things. And it's communicated now through our spirit. But when we don't get those lessons right, we are, as the old saying, as I'm a historian, you've probably heard this thing before, those who do not learn from the past are doomed to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very true statement. And they don't know, I don't know if they realize how far-reaching that statement goes beyond the life that we know, the physical world, beyond the grave even. Those who do not learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. And we spoke about this. You shared a good point with me about things that you don't get now and that you don't do right. You will have to, you'll get another chance because this is something you got to get. People, we are not prepared to live in the presence of the perfect, the all-powerful. It says that our Father is a consuming fire. And we think that we could just live our lives down here, however good or bad we think we want to be. And then when we take our last breath, we're going to go and live in bliss in his presence forever and ever and ever. That's not sound. It's not practical. If a perfect being that has law, you know, like every nation or kingdom or city or province or even home has rules, laws, whether we want to call them rules or laws or commandments, how can we think that a Creator doesn't have any and we could do whatever we want and that there is, we have our little some 10, 20, 50-year, 80-year experience, and that's it for all eternity? It's not sound. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, we read about recycling. We read about how the flow of nature itself teaches us. Let's look at that really fast, please. This is chapter 1, starting at verse 4 of the book of Ecclesiastes. And Solomon says, one generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. Okay, now, so the earth has been here and will continue to be here. So that is, you know, just a little plug for our evolutionary folks. Now, verse 5, the sun also rises, and get the word also.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not pass over that. The sun also rises, because it's a thought now we're following. One
mm-hmm.
generation come, another generation, one generation come and go, another one come and go. But the earth is here. The sun also does that. It comes and goes. It rises, right? And the sun sets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he's developing a pattern of thought here that the sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it once arose, where we know east to west and back again. The sun carries the day around the planet with it from day to
mm-hmm.
day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, verse 6, the wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. Here we have another recycling.
Mm-hmm.
A cycle,
mm-hmm.
yeah, cycle and recycle.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 7, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place which the rivers come, there they return again.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like chapter 12, verse 7, when we die, it says, the body gives up the spirit, the flesh goes to the ground from whence it came, and the spirit goes back to the Most High, the Creator, from whence it came. That's chapter 12, verse 7. So now jump down. That was verse 4, 5, 6, and 7. Verse 9, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun. Now, to say, are we under the sun? Is man, human beings, are we under the sun? Yes. So, does that apply to us too? Or somehow we have excluded ourselves from that, from this verse.
Hmm.
We have no foundation from which we should have done that, but somehow, somewhere in the course of time between the writing of this passage and 2014, which we call it in the Gregorian calendar, man has removed himself from this passage, but we are under the sun. So that brings a question now. Here we keep reading. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient time before us. Verse 11, I for time's sake, I won't go too much on that one. Verse 10, it kind of underscores verse 9. There is no remembrance of former things. nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. Now, many people will read this and not, like, grasp what it's saying. Although mm-hmm. it's pretty self-explanatory if you take it as it reads, as opposed to our preconceived the teachings that we spoke about earlier. When you come teachable and willing to hear the Spirit, as it says in 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit to see whether they be of Yah or not. So verse 11 is a very important text. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. And if we are talking about this cycle, the cycle and the recycle of the circuit of life
mm-hmm.
coming back into the
mm-hmm.
world again,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to ask, well, if I was here, why don't I remember anything? Why is this like the new thing? But there are instances we call, what do we call it? Deja vu.
Mm-hmm.
People call clairvoyance and different things where they have. Or I don't know how true this is because I have never experienced it. I have never seen it done. I've never talked to anyone that had it performed on them. But except one person, the area of hypnosis where people do say they have been put under hypnosis and they delve back into memories that they don't consciously have in the forefront of their mind. They don't
right.
remember living these things, but somewhere in their mind it's there.
One good book on that topic is called The Wheels of the Soul, I think it is. By Rav Berg. No, that's not the one. The Wheels of the Soul is one. And then there's another psychiatrist. He wrote a really good book about how he had one patient who he would put under hypnosis, and she had went back to several lives. There are a number of books that are written about people going back to their previous lives and remembering who they were, what they did. So if anyone is interested in that topic, there are just numerous books about it, written about it. These days, knowledge is definitely increasing. And I just got a little insight on that scripture, Hebrews 9, and it is appointed to men. If you put the emphasis on appointed, you could actually see that scripture as having a whole different meaning, because when you read about at the end of Ecclesiastes how judgment, every work is judged, we read Hebrews 9 to say it's appointed to men once to die, but after they die, the judgment. But if you put the emphasis on the appointed, you could actually see that this could be talking about a time before you enter your mother's womb. You were told you are going to die at a certain time of your journey. But after you receive that appointment, your judgment is going to begin in this flesh. Because we, just as we've talked about, this lamp of the Creator is inside of us, judging everything. And then Ecclesiastes tells us that every work will be judged with every, it says verse 14, for Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it is tov or whether it is evil, whether it is good or whether it is evil. So what we're talking about now is that this cycle of judgment and death and rebirth, it's all like occurring even now. We're being judged in this flesh that we're in, just as you talked about your foster mother. She was being judged for her emotions that she held on to. And my sister, she was being judged for her emotions, and then her cycle, her spirit was recycled again, or is being recycled even. It's like an ongoing process. We are consciously talking about an ongoing process of the heavens and the earth and the river and the sun and the moon, which is what we are. We are all part of this universe of process of cycling and recycling, and it's not ending. There is no end. When we talk about death, that's not the end.
No.
It's just part of the recycling. It's like, that's why it really bothers me now when people get so distraught about death, because it just means they're so attached to that thing or that person that they're not getting this recycling process that we're in. And just as you read about the sun and the moon, if you're consciously aware of your connection to the universe, and the earth spinning, and the sun, and the moon, and the rivers, and then you think when your spirit soul leaves this body, that's the end. Oh, no, we got to grieve for 2 or 3 years because someone's soul left their body, and it's all part of the recycling. It's
that's
nothing
right.
new under the sun. Hallelujah. It's nothing new under the sun. Every work is being judged as we sit here in our bodies. Every thought that we have, every action we have is being judged because we are all connected to this cycle in the universe.
Right.
Hallelujah.
But as we said earlier, it's a lot of people just don't know. They don't read for themselves, and they don't, because of their preconceived ideas. And the word, like, let's look at that. We kind of ran over that element of it, of our discussion, prior discussion. The word, like, we're using recycling for a specific purpose, because the word carries a much better connotation than reincarnation, which is the general or popular term today that people are using, and it carries, and especially in Christianity realm, whatever denomination they may be affiliated with, they would think that actually is like heathenism, paganism, devil worship, and it's the farthest thing from the truth. But because the elements that exist in reincarnation, they are untruths that do exist. So when they hear that word, it's, you crazy. You're going way off the deep end now. I can't even talk to you because you're talking like those New Age people and stuff, you know, so, or Buddhists or whatever. So we are using this word recycling because this is, it's scriptural, it's sound, as Paul says in Ephesians, I think chapter 4, he says, have a pattern of sound words. And, excuse me, it's in Timothy, he's telling Timothy, when teaching, have a pattern of sound words, because you want your words and your thoughts to be sound, to be logical. Truth makes sense. Truth is true, of course, whether we believe it or not, but it's logical, it's sensible, it's easy to accept. It's not something that is so, it's very deep that we could study and live a lifetime and not get it all, but it's so simple a child can get it. That's the essence of truth, and that's what makes it so such a beautiful thing, as well as another evidence that it's beyond the realm of man. It's outside of us, our realm. It's because we can't create something so deep yet so simple at the same time. That those two things exist in one element. We can't do that, but Creator can. And there's another aspect that we kind of ran over, that judgment element that you brought up. I'm so glad you went back to that Hebrew scripture. We were talking earlier. We spoke about time being time. We are living in this physical realm right now as physical beings, but we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. And time is a judgment on us, really, because we are relegated to time. We can't escape time, no matter how much we learn, no matter how young we are or how old we are. Time affects us all, man or woman, and affects us the same. And the question will be, what did you do with your time? With that time I gave you in that body on that planet, what did you do? How did you glorify me? How did you seek to better your character in that time?
And if you can't answer that right,
that's a problem. That's going to be a problem.
That brings out, again, Rafa, the appointment. You have an appointment to leave that flesh, but I'm giving you time, and after you've been given this appointment, you're going to have an appointment with me in 2030 to leave the flesh. But after this, I'm giving you this appointment, but you got time now for the judgment.
Right.
After this the judgment. After I've given you your assignment, here's your assignment. You're going to go down there in the womb of Jane Doe. You're going to have time on the earth, and then you're going to leave your body. But your judgment is time. Time that you have on this earth is your judgment. What are you going to do with your time? Hallelujah. This is so amazing that I have this understanding. I have always read that scripture so differently, but now it's being pointed out by the Ruach, that it's about the appointment we've been given and the time. What are you doing with that time? Because that time is where you're going to be judged for everything you say, everything
That's
you
right.
do. Your emotions are going to be your judgment.
Right. And
I hope everybody's getting this.
And it is a beautiful thing because it's opening up to me also.
I'm telling you to
underscore your point. Chapter 3 is a scripture that we all know, of Ecclesiastes, that we all know. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven.
Yes.
A time to be born and a time to die. And that is, like you've talked about, the appointment. So we have an appointment to be born. There is a day.
Yeah.
We don't know, even the doctors, the parents, nobody knows when that baby's coming. But we can guesstimate, we get close, but you don't know the hour or the day. But the Most High knows. And he knows the day that you're checking in, and he knows the day that you're checking out.
That's right.
Verse 11 also says the same thing. He has made everything beautiful in its time.
Hallelujah.
Also, he has put eternity into the hearts, except that no one can find out the work that the Most High does from beginning to end.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh, wow. That is so powerful. In the light of what we're speaking, we can't fathom what we can, just to understand it, to try and break it down is mind-boggling, let alone ultimate purpose behind it. We won't even attempt to go there.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very exciting. These passages are kind of jumping out at me, too, as I'm listening to you, and they're making more sense. There's another one. I need us to go back to chapter 1 to further strengthen what you were saying. This is one we skipped over. Chapter 1, verse 9. That which has been is what will be.
Mm-hmm.
That which is done is what will be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Now, when he says the thing that has been is that which will be, what is that? The thing that has been, that is what will be. What thing? Let's look at chapter 3, verses 15, because the scripture will break down and identify or clarify itself. That which has already been, that which is, has already been, and what is to be has already been. And Yah requires an account of what is past. Now, that puts in a nutshell everything you were just saying about Hebrews 9:27.
Mm-hmm.
That which is has already been.
Mm-hmm.
And what is to be has already been. So what's coming has already been here too. It's just not here now, but it's coming
mm-hmm.
again. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And Yah requires an account of what is past. Now, that's that appointment that you spoke of.
Yes, yes.
That he requires an account. What did you do with this time that you had
yes.
on that planet?
Oh, my
you were
goodness.
There.
Yes.
What did you do? Who did you help? What did you do? That's the issue here. Now there is
yes.
one more I got to give you before our time runs out. To also back up, this is a third passage that links chapter 1, verse 9, chapter 3, verse 15, and chapter 6, verse 10. This is the clincher, because we
mm-hmm.
answered one question, but we didn't answer the other question.
Okay.
What the thing that has been is that which will be. Well, what thing is that? What is that thing he's talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 6, verse 10, Ecclesiastes says, the thing that has been named already, and it is known that it is man. So the thing
wow.
that he's talking about, the unnamed thing, he's talking about man. So you can't get it any more clear or plain than that. But because we're not taught these things in the church, we read over these passages and we don't get it. Like how it says in Isaiah and Matthew 10, we have eyes to see, but we have eyes, but we don't see. We see not. We have ears, but we don't hear not. And we don't comprehend these things. So 6:10, chapter 6, verse 10 is the clincher. Whatever the thing that has been named already, for it is known that it is man, and he cannot contend with him who is mightier than he. So
wow.
We have no control over this cycle. We, just the same way we can't control the circuit of the sea, we can't control
right.
the circuit of the air, we
mm-hmm.
can't make the sun stop rising or setting,
mm-hmm.
or the moon.
Mm-hmm.
We can't, we don't have control over one's day of death or birth. Now, though they have tried, you can kill someone, but that's an arbitrary control. That is not a natural process. But in a natural order, we do not control those things, not even on our own body. So we can't contend with the one who is mightier than us. And it is so beautiful. And I'm glad that we can't, you know, because if we could, which we see in science today, that is the quest of science, to become their own creator. They want to add on to what the Most High has done and try to perfect
mm-hmm.
perfection, which is insanity. And all
yeah.
they do is make
yeah.
destruction and death.
Hallelujah.
So,
wow, we've gotten some powerful revelations that were unexpected. And while you were talking, I looked up the word appointed in the Strong's,
okay.
and in the Greek, that word is apokamai. But the interesting thing is when you break down the meaning of that word appointed, it actually means a place, time, relationship, separation, and completion, which says
wow.
to us who are living on the earth that you were given a time and a place that you are going to separate from your flesh, your body. It's like the voice of our Creator. In Hebrews 9:27, you can hear the voice of our Creator saying to us, you have been given a time and a place where you will separate and be complete in your journey on the earth, and your judgment will be complete. Because we,
right.
before you got your assignment, you were told that there would be judgment after your assignment, not after your journey on the earth, but after your assignment, you're going to be judged. Where are you going to be judged? In this body, in this vessel. We are being judged daily. And as you have pointed out so beautifully, you're going to be judged by how you spend your time, what you
yeah.
do. And that scripture, that which has been, is named already. That's us. We have a name.
Right.
We were named before, and it is known that it is man. We know this name as man, but we all have been named already before we entered this vessel. Hallelujah. This has just been an awesome time. I just can't. It's just amazing what we have been revealing even to ourselves.
And we, like I said, we have just not even dealt in half. That was just
I think we're going to have to
book.
Come back next week and continue this. We're going to come
indeed.
Back next week. Our time is up.
indeed. Yes, we will have
but
to
we
do.
Wanna,
we can't jump to it tonight.
Yeah, we're going to continue with the recycling of your spirit, understanding your true self. We'll have part two next week because this has just been awesome. And so thank you so much, Rafa, for being an obedient servant. And we have to give praise to our Creator, Yahuwah, for all the light he has given us. And so I'm going to leave out with the song, Yah is My Light, because he has truly been our light this evening to show us these awesome things. Thank you so much for tuning in. And enjoy the food that we're going to give you by music. And make sure you take care of that liver because it's a big part of the cycle of life. Shalom.
Shalom.
Yah is my light. Say.
Jackson.
Yah is my light, the same.